Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Chris is here.
Howdy.
And Sarah's here as well.
G'day.
Now, more than a quarter of the world's population is currently in lockdown due to COVID-19. Of course, the majority of us have never experienced anything like this before. Many experts are saying that when things do return to normal, life will look a little differently to what it did before. So then, today, we're asking, what could change after the lockdown? And what would you like to see change after the lockdown?
I think I'm going to go big on this one.
I'm
going to go for the end of mega cities.
Blimey, I thought you were going to say the end of time.
No.
Thank goodness for that.
The end of civilization.
We're not there yet. I'd heard about a year ago this brilliant podcast. There's a guy called Carrie Newhoff. This guy called Carrie Newhoff interviews brilliant industry leaders. So there's a fast food chain in America called Popeyes, and he interviewed the lady CEO who turned it from a loss to like a $4 billion a year profit. Anyway, so he interviews this chap who just won the award in America for best business culture of under 500 employees. Obviously, he had different categories depending on the number of employees. And what was amazing about him winning the award was that it was completely virtual. So obviously he was like, how can you create a business culture when everything's online? And this guy about a year ago was saying, because I'm not spending money on office blocks, because all of our stuff we could do online, I can spend that taking everybody, say, rock climbing or canoeing and stuff like that. And it made me think a long time ago, like, gosh, with the advance in technology, and if people are reining back now, why would you then start spending shed loads of money on offices when you don't have to? So I was thinking that could change the cities.
I'm not quite sure I see it like absolutely, like, I don't think London is going to shrink or anything, but I think it could change it in terms of, like, for example, like London is a big, you know, what do they call it? Like a talent suck, where like everyone comes in so they can get the job. You know, like, for example, like I work in the media, like I couldn't do my job not in London. But now everyone's realizing, oh, we can actually, on the whole, do all these jobs from home. You know, in future, if people are going, oh, I don't need to live in London, I don't need to live in Manchester, I can live wherever I want. Like, when you first started making that point, I was a bit like,
Here he goes.
I do think you're onto something with that, actually.
Because if you think about it, like, I think there's a more of an expectation amongst at least millennials and Gen Z to do more flexi time and working from home. We're getting our commute hours back, which is, you know, again, if you live in a big city, can be combined maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. So I'm slightly healthier. I'm slightly happier because we talked about it before we came on air about more sleep. What if it was better? And as you said, Sarah, like, you know, you work for a big media company. What if they just said, right, don't come in 4 days a week, but for one day a week, this is the meetings day, where we all do actually meet and we do that sort of stuff as well. But actually, it could be like, you don't have to be here. You could live in a beautiful city like Bath and then commute in for a day a week.
That's the thing. I think, like, it would be, and, you know, like, I've seen this as a meme, but it's absolutely true. People are saying, like, oh, we're really all now finding out all those meetings that could have been emails. And it's true. Like, all the times, like, so I've certainly in an old job, we had to have a meeting about anything. And it was just like, I do feel like some of that's getting weeded out a bit, which I am all for, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I
think you're absolutely right there. I think, but obviously you wouldn't want it to go too far the other way, and then in that you wouldn't have any kind of human interaction with your work colleagues. So I think you're right, Chris. The idea of maybe doing, when you said 4 and 1, I probably, you know, you're at home for 3 days and in for two or whatever it may be. I think that's definitely something that people will be looking at. And I think that when these kind of monumental things happen, and as you're both saying, when people realize things, they don't want to go back to what it was before. The lid has been lifted on this. You think, oh, hang on a minute, I'm getting more sleep, I'm seeing my loved ones more, the ones I live with, or friends, you know, who, depending on your living arrangement. But obviously, if when the lockdown finishes and you were working from home, that would be you have a lot more time to socialize and so on and so forth. Mm. People just go, I don't want to go back to that. And a wise boss or wise leader see that and will go, okay, how can we make the workforce happier?
But there's
chat that because technology is obviously driving this, tech firms become even more influential due to this, because we're carrying on through this pandemic largely due to technology, really. So I think that the working place for, especially really talking about white collar workers, will look quite differently indeed, perhaps.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, because I think it just could change the shape of it. So, you know, none of us guys have kids yet, right? So we're not having to fight wrestling, like looking after kids and stuff. But ultimately, the kids will go back to school at some point. So there will even be, for those parents who are struggling at the moment, who are thinking there's no way on this earth I'm going to work from home, it will look different because the kids will be back to school. Or maybe there's a rise in more and more co-working spaces in your local neighborhood. It'll probably drive us more local as well as connected, I guess.
Can I jump in with one thing that I think will change, or it will certainly be more apparent in the day-to-day life? Mm-hmm. It's people being aware of their personal hygiene. It's been a bugbear of mine for years. You see this, now I don't want to, obviously I know there's terrible things going on, but you see posters up on the London Underground where it's literally saying, if you sneeze, sneeze into a tissue or something like that. Yeah. These posters have been around for years, and you think, are people being brought up or dragged up? This is piss poor.
So,
yeah, exactly. So now when someone sneezes on public transport, it will be as if they've just produced a revolver from their pocket or something. So I think people should be that. I think that will change. I hope personal hygiene will change, although you know what it's like. It'll probably change for 6 months and then everybody reverts back to normal. But that would be one for me.
Although not that long ago, I saw someone spitting in the street and I was like, I'm sorry. Aww. Like, as if you're still doing, like, I think it's gross at the best of times, but like, really? Really? I've got another sort of social one. I wonder if the way that we greet each other will change. You know, like, I'm all for a sort of a little greeting hug, but you know what I hope dies is the cheek kiss thing. You know, the do we do one, do we do two, do we do three? I don't know. Are you actually putting your lips on my cheek? I hope not. Are we doing cheek on cheek? Like, how does this work? Just, can we just let that one die at the end of this? It's not, we don't need to do it. Let's
have you ever been to Europe?
That one in the bin.
What I was about to say, yeah, I feel that that would have a massive impact on French society as well as many others.
Beneficial, I'm sure.
So if you stop that in France, you'd have another revolution. They are overdue one. It's been a few hundred years.
You know what? I also think would be good for us to just, like, leave in the bin, having realised it's now very unhygienic, is blowing out candles on birthday cakes. Can we stop that
now?
Wow,
yeah. That's actually a really good point.
Like, you're literally just, like, blowing all over what everyone's going to, like, we don't need that, guys. And also, it's embarrassing. You know when everyone's, like, singing to you and you're sitting there like an absolute Muppet being, like, doing the weird half-smile thing and, like, you're like, do I sing along? Do I clap at the end? No, because then I'm just clapping myself. Or am I clapping the singers? Let's just put the birthday cake thing in the bin as well.
I'm sorry, Sarah, but one of the legacies of COVID-19 will not be to end the happy birthday song. I don't know how you've managed to go from that to that, but that is craven, if I'm quite honest with you. It's all interesting, this, the sort of more everyday kind of habits, because I mean, we spoke recently, didn't we, a previous podcast quite recently, that as human beings, you know, we are creatures of habit, but a shock to the system can change those habits. And this is what we're experiencing right now. I wonder if people will exercise a bit more after the lockdown, because obviously every time I look at outside my window, now I live in a reasonably busy part of London, there's people running and, I mean, it's far more than normal. And that goes back to the point of people having a bit more time on their hands because they're not in the office or whatever. So you can have a healthier population, despite the virus and all that kind of stuff, if you see what I mean.
I was going to say, it could also be that all those people would normally be in a gym And so it's like we are seeing people outside a lot more. And it's the spring.
Although I definitely think I've seen I definitely think I've seen people who have, you know, gone rooting around in the garage and found the old bike and dusted it off kind of thing. Because, you know, like, even if, you know, normally you'd maybe go, I don't know, you'd go out to the beach or whatever for a walk, and now you can't do that. People have, I reckon, based purely on my own anecdotal experience, I reckon people are trying to get a bit more creative and maybe just thought, well, you know, I need to get out of the house. Might as well go out on the bike or go for a run.
Have you guys done any more exercise since the lockdown?
I've done less.
It's not hard.
Because my exercise, and that's, well, my exercise, well, I play football twice a week. I'd normally go up the gym. I don't know, I've just been a bit like, because the first week of the lockdown, I was feeling a few of the effects of the virus. So I stayed in. And then, I don't know, I just sort of got a bit paranoid. I thought, do you know what? And as I say, wherever I would sort of want to jog, there's quite a lot of people. So I thought, no, it's best I stay in. So that's what I've done.
I do miss the gym. I've gone back to running. I'd sort of ditched it for a while in favour of the gym. I do miss it a bit, but I'm definitely doing more running, and I'm getting my kind of my running fitness back up. So, you know, losing all those sweet gains, but.
I sent you guys a picture of what's losing my sweet gains, which is the other day one of our neighbors had a box of Cadbury's eggs delivered to their house by mistake, and they left it on the doorstep, and they said to the street, "Does anyone want them?" At the end of the day, there was loads left, and so my wife just texts, she's pregnant. So she was like, this is going to help a pregnant woman get through pregnancy. Within 2 minutes, I had the whole box on my doorstep. And it's...
That's a lovely old
girl.
It's so tempting. They just sat there on the corner and I'm just like, wow, how many is it wrong to have for breakfast?
Yeah.
Oh, caramel egg, those are delish.
Exactly. Triple cake.
I wonder if at this time, after the lockdown, like immediately after, people will be as desperate as they can to move houses. If they're, you know, if you're renting with certain people that you don't really know, it could go one of two ways, couldn't it? You could either form stronger bonds, or you could go, I thought that guy was a bit of an idiot. My goodness, I was only half right. He's absolute murder, this fella I'm living with.
But I think there'll also be people who like fall in love because they're locked in with someone and that kind of thing.
He's such a romantic.
I think
see the nice side.
Yeah, it could well happen. I wonder if people will think so. If people are in a relationship or early stages of a relationship when this lockdown has happened, and they're apart, you know, that might be tricky. That might well be tricky.
You like doing a long distance relationship though. That's what it'd be like.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would be. Yeah.
I did 9 months living in the States and having to Skype Sarah, my wife, and you kind of learn to adapt. It's annoying, but you do just go. We had to actually learn to communicate properly, and you know, because in the early stage of relationship,
well, this is it.
You just want to cuddle and kiss a lot. Yeah, let's be honest. So you end up having to learn to chat, and you're like, all right, get through the business of the day, and I have to really, I guess, open up to her now. So
I think the quality of one's relationship could improve, as you say. I mean, that is looking at it very positively. But there damn it all, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at it positively.
I actually saw, it was on The Guardian, they had the agony aunt columns, and this is the opposite. This is horrendous. It was someone saying, I'm locked down in the same house and with my some of my family. And I've fallen in love with my brother-in-law.
Oh,
blimey.
And I think he's fallen in love with me. Like, what do I do? Can you imagine? It'd be horrendous. Well, yeah, no, to be fair, I think the advice was, you know, right, just focus on getting through this. Make sure you're not together. You know, this is going to end and you'll get out. But
get out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Crystal
Don't
Maze.
Take a leaf out of Ryan Giggs's book. Whatever you do.
No. I was listening to a radio program yesterday and they were saying that I think there's already more people filing for divorce. And it's unusual because it usually there's usually a spike in these things in September, which is after holidays where people have been together and realized it doesn't work and it's moved forward. So they're not saying that will be more, but just the time of separation has moved forward because they realized a few months earlier there will already be cracks and fissures in those relationships anyway. And actually a mutual friend of all of ours who runs a charity helping with relationships, she always used to say that January is also another time where people, because they've been together over Christmas holidays, where when you're forced into those moments, then there's like a rise in people looking for relational help stuff as well. So I just think it's probably moved forward a bit.
Yeah.
I do also think when the lockdown lifts, I mean, like when it's properly lifted and, you know, we can all go back relatively to whatever normal will be, you know, we can go to the pub and, you know, go to football games and all that stuff. I reckon we're going to have a baby boom. I think it's going to be like after World War II. Everyone's just going to be like, yeah,
that's been predicted. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think it will be that sort of freedom. Yes, there's hope, there's new life, and I think just everyone's going to end up having babies.
Yeah. Well, I wonder though. I think it's with regards to what you say about the lockdown finishing and so on and so forth. It clearly won't be this kind of VE Day kind of situation where everyone's out in the street and waving flags and whatnot. Why would they be waving flags? I don't know, but in these days. But as
face masks.
I don't think it'll be this sort of celebration that, everyone's taken off the face. Like a graduation ceremony. Yeah.
Burn them.
I think everyone throws them in the air, something like that. That would be quite good. But no, that won't happen, of course.
It'll be gradual, won't
it? Phased back. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then suddenly we'll turn around and go, oh, we're back. Right, you know, fill the stadiums, fill the concert halls, fill the restaurants. And so on, and the public baths. But I wonder though that when it all happens, you know, will there be more of a community feel? Now that's very difficult to measure, I suppose. Although there are ways to do it, but you know, societies that people have likened this thing that we're going through is sort of like a bit like wartime in a very loose sense, of course. And societies that go through war do create stronger bonds, generally speaking. You know, something like this makes everybody pull together, and it puts everybody in the same or a very similar situation. It's not like there's a news story going on and it's affecting those people over there, or it's affecting that section of society. This is affecting us all, so it's a great leveler in one sense. So, you know, or look at the the kind of the outpouring of gratitude at 8 p.m. on a Thursday evening that people have for national health workers and key workers when they big round of applause. You know, there's something quite incredible about looking out of your window and seeing your neighbours who you've never really noticed before, and everyone's clapping away and you're kind of looking at each other and you're sort of waving, and it's kind of like it makes you all look at each other and go, oh, should we all go around for yours for dinner? Or you all come around mine or something like that? Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that it's maybe going to be that kind of forthright or that much, but these things can bring people together. And it would be fantastic if there was a bit more community spirit, especially in a city like the one we live in London, where it can lack a little bit.
I really hope so. I really do. And like, I think even just, you know, where my parents live in their village, you know, there's like a WhatsApp group for, you know, if anybody needs any help or any, you know, they can't get out the house because they're having to isolate and stuff.
More
and,
care,
you know,
the people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way, you know, people who you didn't even know their name before, even though you've lived in the same village for however many years. Like, it's really nice that those kind of barriers have come down a bit. And you know what I think has really stuck out for me is that people really do want to help. Like, I know we've heard the stories about the very few people who have been selfish and awful, but people really want to help. You know, look at all the people doing shopping for the neighbours and saying, right, I'll try and sew some face masks and I'll make some scrubs for the hospital. People, there is a real desire to help, and I really hope that that gets kind of utilised and that carries on after it all kind of comes away.
I guess it's like, what you were saying, Mark, is like, we've all got a common enemy now, which you would have in wartime when everybody bands together because of a common enemy. And to be honest, like, so I caveat this with people near me have lost people through this, so I'm not taking this lightly. However, Mm-hmm. I feel after 2016, there were so many divisions and fractures in society, not just in the UK, but in the US, and actually even across Europe with political parties. Possibly the silver lining in the very dark cloud of this thing is that it could bring people back together, actually, that we're not fighting each other anymore. We're fighting a common cause, like you said. And definitely, I said, like, not just for the cream eggs on my street, but there's some people that they're all doing like a coordinated dance. They've marked out 2 meter sections on the pavement, and then they come out. There must be some dance teachers, and then they do it every afternoon. It's brilliant. Like, it is.
That's incredible.
Aww. It's bringing people together. And my sister sent through a video of them. They live in Devon, and I think they had street bingo the other day. So they're all out there in their chairs, keeping their distance, but all like playing music and stuff. And it's like, I've never in my life known communities to actually come out and come together, like, so the hope is that it carries on, right? That we want it to not just be, oh, wasn't that a fun, not fun, but an interesting couple of weeks where it went bad but it went good. Hopefully the bad leaves us but the good continues. I mean, that's the dream.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that it's so interesting. You realize what can be achieved, and it's often just breaking the ice, isn't it? And people just having a tiny little step of faith that they're neighbors or the people around them are not awful people, and they're not going to be harmed in any way or embarrassed or whatever the case may be. But it's funny, you know, I think of like this lovely old woman who lives downstairs from us, and I think, you know what, actually, if I see her out and about, you know, when this is all done, I might say to her, oh, by the way, how are you doing? Do you need me to get you anything from the shops? Just little things like that, you know. It's tiny things that you think, why don't we do that? You know, why wouldn't we? And I know some people might be listening to this and thinking, God blimey, you idiots, you know, we do that in my village or we do that in my town or whatever. You know, I'm quite sure that this sort of thing does exist, but regrettably in some places it doesn't. And certainly what you're describing there, Chris, with a kind of a sort of a fun and lively way for people to interact with each other, people get a bit creative. Why should that creativity stop? Why should it doesn't need to be. And I say, sometimes when the lid is lifted on certain things, to kind of go back, why not? You know, we're meeting up with friends of ours over various apps, whether it's House Party or Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why stop meeting regularly with our friends? Why? You know, it's possible, Sarah. It's all possible.
I think even, like, you know what? When I go out for my government-mandated exercise in whatever form that is, I like everyone I pass, and like, I, you know, obviously pass quite a lot of people, but I try to sort of give them a smile or whatever, or just kind of say, oh, hiya, like, because I don't know, it does just feel like, you know, we're all having a weird time. Like, this is a situation that is affecting literally everybody, and I don't know, it's definitely made me kind of not be so sort of introverted and in inward looking, and kind of almost get outside my bubble a little bit, which I hope continues, you know, just that smiling at people as you pass them and that kind of thing. It's quite nice.
Can I depress us a bit?
Yes.
Oh, Chris,
sorry. My fear is, have you guys read the Naomi Klein book Shock Doctrine? It's fascinating. So she talked, this is the book's not new, it's, I don't know what it was, a few years old now, 10 years old, 12 years old, something like that. And it talks about how often during crisis and shock, the sort of nefarious elite, so not all the elite, will use that to push through loads of measures because we're so in shock that they can use that to their benefit. And it's kind of those people that start to push through things that they wouldn't normally get away with because they were so distracted with this crisis. So
that's classic stuff that governments do with tragic events and so on. So that from World War One and Two to various bombings and terrorist attacks and so on.
So my hope and my prayer is that it doesn't happen that, but I'm aware that these things happen. And obviously in the last 24 hours, we've seen America remove whatever it is, $500 million worth of funding from the WHO. And you're just like, he's been wanting to do that for a long time. I mean, I used to work in the UN, and when he came in, we were all on standby for this happening. So it's not like, oh, he's just had this brilliant idea. This has been brewing for a long time. Yeah. And now there's this excuse to, right, I'm just going to go and do these things that I've always wanted to do and blame the virus. When actually that was always on his agenda. So I think it's something we also have to be aware of.
Uh-huh. Well, you could spin that back around and say, well, good things can be pushed through as well. I mean, take our beloved National Health Service, you know, the old NHS. I mean, that was proposed. I know there is at least one historian who listens to this podcast, so I don't want to incur his wrath, though he seems like a fine man. But, you know, there was, I think some people, probably in the Labour Party, were wanting to push that through in the 1930s. So it had been mentioned, of course, before the Second World War. It didn't come in until after the Second World War. I think 1948 was when it was fully up and running. But I wonder that certain things can change public opinion. You know, Labour, the Labour government came in 1945, I think, if I'm right there. People wanted a change and they came in. And whether it was a big factor or not, you know, they probably wanted to push through the health service. I think in 1944 it was again mooted by somebody. But these things, you know, they can help. I mean, one thing, if we're going to just stay political, you know, the idea of universal income. Now, universal income is an interesting one. Not everybody likes the idea of it. But oddly, I think people who are a bit more right wing and people who are a bit more left wing tend to kind of quite like the idea of universal income, generally speaking. The government in this country, and probably others as well, are paying wages, you know, up to 80% of various people's wages if they've been furloughed, of course. And the economy, the UK economy, is predicted to shrink by 35% before it starts to recover. So something like universal income could come in, and that would be, yes, one or two people find it controversial, but something like that, it'd be interesting. I'm not necessarily for or against it. I'm quite intrigued by the idea. Again, I don't want to get sort of too political. So you are right, Chris. Sometimes the more kind of untrustworthy people, usually in the upper echelons of society, do push through things, but it could pave the way for more funding for the NHS, which some people would love to see. You know, it could have potentially a more positive effect on ideas going forward. So one never knows, does one?
No. I mean, and my hope is that this actually does save the NHS, because obviously there was a lot of concern amongst some people in the UK before this that it was being dismantled. And actually, I don't think that could be done in our generation now, because people are so appreciative and so value those guys that go out and put their lives on the line every day. I don't think any political person could do that now without there being an uprising, because we all appreciate them all. So it's interesting, actually, how that probably has shifted.
Well, I think on that, like, that's where, you know, yes, those 8 PMs on a Thursday where we all clap are really special, and I think they're brilliant. But at the end of the day, like, there are a lot of NHS workers who get paid absolutely bugger all. The NHS has been stripped back and back and back. And, you know, I just think that after this, like, especially, you know, Boris Johnson standing on the steps of Downing Street clapping them, like, I don't know. I just hope that gets reflected in the way it gets treated now in the coming years. I really, really do.
Yeah. Well, we can live in hope, can't we?
Fingers crossed.
indeed. Well, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do find us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at AQQAPod. There we are. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Cheers.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week.